Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
Denver Network Production. Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Monday edition of The Drive. You could not ask for a nicer day.
It's beautiful.
I mean, absolutely beautiful. We had the rain a little over the weekend. It is cleared up. It is cool. It is great. Temperature is like in the mid to upper 60s, not a cloud in the sky. Brian, are you noticing a lot of pollen? I think it's about, as far as the dusting of the pollen, I think maybe we're about done.
Yeah, I think with that green pine tree pollen, I think, yeah, yes. But yeah, there's still other stuff that'll pop up and get me sometimes.
But I mean, as far as just being outside today, is a day where if you can, you want to be outside. Of course, you want to be carrying your phone with either your ear pods or whatever, and checking us out. We'd love to hear from you here on the Monday Drive, because there is a lot to talk about. Here in Auburn sports, there is a lot to be talking about. The transfer portal really hopping Auburn with additions and a subtraction and maybe another addition coming up before long in football. We'll talk about basketball, obviously, too. Aiden Holloway making it official that he is heading to Alabama. Auburn still looking for a player or two from the transfer portal. We'll talk about that. Quite a few things. Boy, a lost weekend on the diamond. Auburn gets swept in Starkville. Auburn softball has lost two straight, and they play again tonight trying to salvage one game. So, I mean, it has really been tough. But Auburn baseball, Brian, 2-16, I believe, and I've looked and can't find anything. This is the worst start in SEC history for Auburn baseball.
As far as I know, yes. That's what I've looked in this.
Well, there haven't been many seasons where Auburn's lost more than this.
No.
In an entire, Auburn went 8-22.
Right.
But Auburn would have to go 6-6. To get to 8-22 now.
Yeah, you don't necessarily see that right now. We'll see.
They have the ability to do that.
Sure.
But it's right. They really seem to be caught up in the whatever it takes to almost win.
Yeah, what can go wrong will go wrong.
They're coming close. Yeah. When they score a lot of runs, they can't prevent runs from scoring. When they pitch well, they don't score quite enough.
Yeah, they have two hits. Was it two? I can't remember. I know they had.
We were in the movies. I was just keeping up with the score.
In a three-game series, they had two extra base hits, one home run, one double. You just can't win. Like that.
No, and Auburn had been swinging the bats pretty well. It had been the pitching, and they get better pitching over the weekend, and still lose three. They've lost seven or eight games by one or two runs down in conference play.
I think one loss this weekend was 3-1. The other one's 4-3 in extra innings. Tough way to go on Sunday. Part of the hitting problems right now is just injuries, right? Mason Maynard has been out. By Pierce has basically been out. Ike Iris is not the same.
No.
Playing through his injury, clearly. And then when that happens, you don't have protection around guys like Cooper Murray like you used to. So it just all kind of one thing on top of the other. It's tough right now.
Yeah, no question about it. We can talk about that, but we definitely want to talk about the breaking news. With Auburn adding, Auburn got Philip Bleedy. Was it yesterday or Saturday? He announced sometime.
I feel like it was yesterday, but
yeah, I'm thinking it was yesterday. But Auburn has added two big defensive linemen.
Yes.
Something we've been talking about, Auburn needing depth there on the interior defensive front, and they have really done so with Philip Bleedy from Indiana,
mm-hmm.
Isaiah Rakes from Southern Cal. Now, both of these guys spent the majority of their college careers in the state of Texas.
Right.
Because Bleedy was at Texas Tech before he went to Indiana. It was Texas Tech, I think, 3 years in Indiana for a year. Rakes has played his entire career at Texas A&M and then transferred to Southern Cal when Jimbo Fisher was let go.
Yep.
So he's never played really at Southern Cal. Now he has an opportunity to come back play for his defensive coordinator for the last couple of years, DJ Durkin.
That's right. He sure does. And two really big need positions that Auburn had to fill. They wanted another nose guard just because the way Durkin wants to play with some two-gap scheme, they needed a bigger guy that could get a little bit of a push there and be real physical. And I think Rakes definitely fills that role. And then they just had to have more depth and more bodies and more playmaking ability at defensive tackle, and I think Bleedy can fill that role. I'm not saying he's going to be an All-ACC player, but Auburn needed some more beef there.
Well, now they have guys that have college, Power 5 college experience, four additions with college experience, with Trill Carter, Gage Keys, who went through the spring, and then add Philip Bleedy and Isaiah Rakes, and you've got Jason Jones and Bobby Jamison, Travis, but Jason Jones has multiple years of experience. So you got five experienced, I guess you could count Zeke Walker. I'm not sure exactly where he's going to be, inside or out, strong end, or if he's going to be at the three technique. But, I mean, you've got some experienced guys there and then some young players behind them who they really, really like.
When you look at the D-tackle position or in the defensive end position, I think three of the four most talented players on the team are the true freshmen, along with Keldrick Falk, a true sophomore. Mm-hmm. But you don't want to go into SEC play counting on those true freshmen to be starters right away.
Right.
You want to let them develop and get bigger and stronger, get experience behind some veteran guys, and that's what signing these guys and bringing them into the portal does for those young guys.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I mean, and so that that could do it as far as the interior defensive front, but Auburn's by no means planning on being done, even on the defensive front.
Yeah, I think it's is it Keron or Kayron Crawford?
I think it's Keron.
Keron Crawford. He is from Arkansas State. He is an edge rusher. That position is now called Buck linebacker at Auburn under DJ Durkin, and he is here now. And we've been told that things are looking really good, and we could have news on him here in the next
anytime.
Yeah, maybe later tonight.
Yeah. Now, we've talked about him. A lot of folks have been feeling that Auburn had a really, really good shot with this young man. He's he's from Memphis, played at Briarwood Christian, which is the school which Hugh Freeze coached
before
he got into got into college. And then at Arkansas State, he's a guy that we were talking about him the other day, Brian. I mean, you look at his history, he was a basketball player, guy that was just talked into playing football his senior year in high school, and then as a freshman at Arkansas State, you know, played some, learning the game, learning the position, and then this past year led the team in tackles for loss and sacks, and he's got a couple of years of eligibility left.
Yeah, you got to love that. You're in a guy that's got even more upside than he's shown, right? He's still growing and getting better.
Right.
He's got 2 to 3 years of eligibility, depending on, you know, how things work. And then you look at his numbers from last season, 11.5 tackles for loss, 6.5 sacks. I mean, those are good numbers, right?
They are, absolutely.
And to me, I thought this was a position that Auburn had to absolutely fill with a veteran guy, because I like Jalen McLeod a lot, right? He's going to be your starting edge guy.
Right.
But Jalen's not a big dude.
And he also got banged up a little last year.
And I would expect that to happen again. It's not his fault. I mean, you know, it's not a bad thing. It's just that's a position that gets banged around a lot going up against 330-pound tackles and tight ends and getting chipped and all sorts of stuff. And plus, it's a lot of work rushing a passer play after play after play, right? You get gassed early. You need somebody you can rely on. And if they can bring in Crawford, and I think they will, that's another veteran in that rotation. And then behind those two, you've got two really talented freshmen. So instead of going Jalen McLeod and two freshmen, now you can go, well, hopefully if you're Auburn, you go McLeod, Crawford, and then two freshmen.
Yeah, and it also opens up so many possibilities when you want to put extra pass rushers in the ball game, things like that. So, so that looks very promising for Auburn. They've got and Auburn's got room. They've got room to add a few more. And another spot came open today as Wes Steiner, who has been at Auburn for, I guess he's been at Auburn for 4 years, entering the portal, the linebacker.
Yeah, and I think this is just a deal with him wanting to go somewhere maybe where he can start and be a bigger part, you know, of the playing rotation. You know, Wesley's done great at Auburn, been a great person on and off the field.
A great interview.
Yep. Yeah. Yes. He will go into all. You never know where it's going
when
you're talking
right.
to Wesley. Absolutely. So I think he's just trying to take an opportunity, you know, to find, you know, a little bit more playing time. Auburn has Eugene Asante returning that position. They've got a very talented freshman in DeMarcus Riddick. So this opens up a little bit more playing time for him at one of those inside positions. And they've also got Austin Keys and Dorian Mousey and Robert Woodyard and DJ Barber. So that's a position that's got some depth and some talent and some experience.
Yeah, I wonder. I mean, I'd seen a couple of linebackers at Auburn have been mentioned with. You think Auburn might go after a linebacker? I guess if it was just the right guy, they felt like it was somebody they couldn't do without. But I don't think it's a must right now.
Right. I'm with you. I don't think it's a must. And I think if you look at the must, it was defensive line, it was edge rusher, and it's wide receiver. And then if somebody pops up that has, you know, multiple years of eligibility that thinks a good player, then you jump on them because they're going to have room to sign an extra half dozen or so if they want to.
Right.
You know, they're going to be well below 85. I think I have them at 70, around 78.
I think I had 77 or 78.
Yeah. So, but on the other hand, it might be too expensive to have a full roster these days.
That's true.
Due to NIL, right? Because you got to pay everybody. So I don't know how it works. We'll see. But yeah, so, and Jay Fair, I think, was Saturday. Was announced?
Oh, that's right. Friday or Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it was Saturday.
So he's also moving on again. The wide receiver room continues to.
Well, that one, I mean, we had talked about that. And let's welcome in Dan. Dan is Skyping in, a little under the weather. So Dan Peck joining us as he Skypes in. And Dan, we've been talking about, you know, Auburn's interest in receiver would seem to indicate that that at least one current wideout would be entering the portal.
And we speculated that, hi, guys. And we speculated that there could be. There could be players signed by the previous coaching staff, right, who might be particularly interested in exploring the portal and seeing what else is there. If you were, you know, if you're looking and there are younger players in line for more playing time than you are, if you're not playing for the coaches who recruited you in the first place, it makes sense to maybe test the waters and see if you can find more playing time somewhere else. And it sounds like Auburn has a couple of players that are exploring it. And I would, I saw this on social media, the chance that you could have a busier portal this week than you did last week, because players maybe they don't want to seem so cutthroat by going into the portal the day it opens. Maybe you give it a week and now you'll see a little bit more activity. I don't know how accurate that is, but I think we expected Auburn to lose a couple of players at different spots, and I'm not sure there's been. I mean, Colton Hood, if those reports are true, would be the closest thing to a surprise. We talked about that on Friday's show, but a lot of the more veteran players, I think that it's almost to be expected.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, he's not in officially yet, but I think that is a possibility. And just looking at it, I think Auburn is up to 18 outgoing. And I think all 18 of those are guys that, I don't want to make this sound mean, but are guys that Auburn was not fighting to keep necessarily.
They weren't, yes. Okay.
You know, they understood that there would be opportunity for better playing time. You got a coaching switch, new schemes, new coaches. It doesn't always work out, you know, give these guys an opportunity to move on. But I think if Colton Hood was to enter the portal, that would be one that they would have liked
to keep.
That would hurt. Yeah. But, you know, one of 19 or whatever it is, I just, you know, that's with the chance to sort of roll over your roster and get better players in, I just think that's a price that, you know, is worth paying.
334-321-1390 is the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. Love for you to join us on that if you get a chance.
Yeah, you can also text the show 334-564-1840 on the Drive text box. That's presented by our friends Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you get your podcast. Have you guys already talked about Aiden Holloway?
Just briefly. I figured we'd open up another segment on that, about him making it official that he is heading to Alabama. We talked more football there in that first segment, since some of that was just happening. The Aiden Holloway thing obviously, happened yesterday, or is it Saturday?
We'd heard rumblings last week. We talked about Aiden, and then
I just wanted to go ahead and get on the Isaiah Rakes and the probability of a Kieron Crawford being added to that here in just a little while. So we'll definitely talk that, and we'd love for you to join in, give us your thoughts as we're just underway here on the Monday Drive.
Experience and knowledge. Back on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Monday edition of The Drive. Bill and Brian Matthews here in the studio with Drew at the controls. Dan Skyping in out of concern for all of our health. I appreciate that, Dan. How you feeling, man? We got Dan?
It says we do.
Huh. Okay. Oh. Well.
Sorry, hey, am I back?
Yeah, there we go. There you are.
No, sorry. I switched over the thing. Started to not feel great last night. I'm pulling out of it now, but I thought, just in case, I'll give it a day. And Brian's in the studio. Yes. We've got a ton to talk about, so I'll chime in from home as much or as little as I need to.
Yeah, you would think. I mean, there is plenty to be talking about. That's how we started. I mean, there's plenty to be talking about here this afternoon. And yeah, I didn't want to just jump into the Aiden Holloway before we got to the football news, the additions, because Auburn could have a total of three new additions on the defensive front, before the end of today. They've already gotten two over the last 48 hours or so anyway. But yes, Aiden Holloway making it official today. And I have to say, I have not read the quotes that Aiden said. When I've tried to find them, I can't seem to find, but I've heard people quoting some of the quotes that Aiden made, which aren't a fond farewell to Auburn fans the way a lot of players that enter the transfer portal will do. That's
disappointing.
That is the most disappointing thing to me. I know to a lot of other people it's more disappointing that he's going to Alabama. But I mean, Brian, I think we felt this one coming. Maybe not to Alabama, but we felt the Aiden Holloway possibility of entering the portal coming for a while.
Well, yes. Auburn, after the season, knew that it needed to upgrade the point guard position, and it needed a point guard that fit better with the talent they had coming back: Jani Broome, Dylan Cardwell, the other bigs they got coming back, Chaney Johnson. So they needed a guy that run that half-court offense. Not saying that Auburn's not going to fast break and do those things too, but guys that come off screen, push the ball, toward the goal, get those easy little lob passes, do those type of things that really the two guys that ran the point last year just weren't as good at doing, right? And they got that in J.P. Pegues, who's also a really good, three-point shot shooter too. So, he can come off screen and pop a three, which makes teams have to play him up tight, which allows him to drive past that sometimes too. He's got that all his arsenal, and I think that's what Auburn needed to run the offense with the guys that got back. And those two guys, Aiden Holloway and Trey Donaldson, could have stayed. They had the option if they wanted to stay and compete.
I think Auburn was more surprised or more disappointed that Trey went into the portal than Aiden did.
Yeah, but I don't blame either of them.
Trey looks like he's going to be the starting point guard at Michigan.
Yep, and Aiden, I think he struggled this year. I think he lost confidence in his shot. He had trouble adjusting to switching to point guard full time. from high school to college. But guys like him who have talent, to have a good work ethic, they usually get a lot better between year one and year two. So mm-hmm. I would expect him to be better whether he's come back to Auburn or at Alabama. So, you know, it should make this rivalry really interesting. And that game at Neville Arena when they come by, it will be a lot of fun.
Oh, it will. It will not stop. It will be constant. He will be hearing it constantly from the crowd when he returns to Auburn.
Yeah, and no need for those comments to inflame things. and if I was the Auburn staff or coaches, I would just, you know, let it ride.
So on the basketball side of things, like, I think that it makes sense for, unless Aiden wanted, you know, if he had the opportunity to go compete to be the starting point guard at a championship level program right now, I think after the freshman season he just had, it would have been something of a surprise if that sort of opportunity had been there in the portal. You know, we thought maybe he would need to consider a school that he wouldn't have considered right out of high school if he wanted a ton of playing time, or he was going to need to, I don't know. But
I disagree. I disagree with that, Dan. I don't think so. I think there are coaches all across the country that would jump all over the opportunity to take a guy that was a McDonald's All-American and a five-star, even if he didn't, even if he wasn't spectacular as a true freshman, they would have given him the opportunity to come in and compete for a starting spot.
Sure. No, I mean, I think the number of places is maybe where we would disagree, right, Bill? Like, it's like, would he have an opportunity at a top 10 place or a top 15 place to be the starting point guard?
Why not?
Next year, or was he, because they might have a better option. They might have somebody. Like Auburn have gone to the portal and found a better point guard than Aiden Holloway. That would be the main reason.
Well, we'll just have to wait and see. I think the people that have already written Aiden Holloway off and say, we saw it this year, he sucks, he's no good, ha-ha, you know.
Oh, no, I think Aiden Holloway has the chance to be an excellent college basketball player. I would not write off Aiden Holloway by any means. I think Alabama is a place where, assuming Mark Sears is coming back, and we don't know yet, he's still in the NBA draft, he could – I think people think Mark Sears is coming back, mm-hmm. but if he doesn't, Aiden Holloway looks like he's in line to be the starting point guard at Alabama this year. If Mark Sears comes back and Aiden Holloway plays limited minutes as Mark Sears' backup and also gets to play a little bit off ball as well, but gets a year to ingratiate himself into the Nate Oates system, I wouldn't be surprised if he has a better year than he had his first year, and I wouldn't be surprised if he eventually has a really solid college basketball career. I think, I mean, my original point was he struggled enough, I think, especially in conference play, that it was going to be tough for a championship level team right now to say, come in and be our starting point guard, because there might've been better options out there. There's the chance that he's still an excellent college basketball player, an excellent point guard. On the non-basketball side of things, the pot shots at you know, I just think it's a bad look in general to speak negatively of your previous program.
Yes, I agree.
When you're in the portal, like, I think it just
no matter where you are or where you have been.
Yeah, it just, I think it, you know, nobody looks good, right? Because the previous program's fans get defensive, and I mean, it just, it's better to, you know, onward and upward is probably the best way to sort of look at it if you're someone in the portal switching teams. Yeah. And the Aiden Holloway quotes, I thought they were unfortunate because it brought out the worst in a lot of people.
No, I agree. And I think Auburn is better at point guard, and I think both those guys leaving have a chance to be in better situations for them. So I just, to me, it's a win-win-win, and it's disappointing that Aiden had to leave with some remarks. But that's sometimes kids that are teenagers or you know, in their 20s, young, don't always make the best decisions when it comes to that.
No, yeah, you're...
And I think there would have been, I mean, I don't know what happened behind the scenes, but the thought, you know, especially since we think Auburn is maybe looking to add another guard, the thought that either Aiden or Trey could have stayed and backed up J.P. Pegues and then spent, you know, a year getting more seasoning and then being the starter the following year, I think that might have been attractive to Auburn. Again, without knowing exactly what prompted either Trey or Aiden to go into the portal, you said about Trey, Dusty May is building very impressive roster in year one at Michigan. I think they could be a preseason tournament, a team projected to be an NCAA tournament type of team. John L. Davis, the FAU guard, is I think he's committed or is leaning towards Michigan as well on top of some other players. So, yeah, I think they could be a turnaround team in year one. Trey Donaldson could be a big part of that.
Yeah, and but here's what's funny. I mean, so Trey has an opportunity to be a starting point guard for a school that expects to win and win a lot.
Although they're starting over. I mean,
Trey's numbers aren't as good as Aiden's. I mean, Trey averaged a little under 7. Trey averaged 7.5.
If Aiden had picked a place, you know, if Aiden was going somewhere where he was the presumptive starter, you know, if you were telling me it was a place where they were, you know, first year head coach and they were going into the portal for an entirely new starting lineup, like I think that would, and that's the situation Michigan is in right now. Although Dusty May is doing a good job with it and bringing in quality looking transfers, but that's a team that had 2 or 3 players when Dusty May got there. So I mean, I think that they're taking separate looking paths, right? Because it looks like Trey is going to be the starter.
You're right. It's hard to say Aiden is a starter at Alabama right now. You're right.
But if Mark Sears doesn't come back, it looks like he's the starter at the moment, unless they were to make another move at guard,
or unless they want to go really small in the backcourt and use one of them as a two.
Well, and Sears Holloway together gives you a pretty good looking 40 minutes at point guard, right? I mean, you're asking Sears to, if Holloway's playing, what is that? Is that 12, 14 minutes, depending on maybe less?
Yeah, you know what? You know what Mark Sears has averaged at Alabama?
I was going to say, wasn't it 35 last year?
He has averaged, this past year was 34. Yeah, 34 this past year.
Yeah, I mean, getting his backup, you know, double digit minutes would probably require him playing off ball some. Mm-hmm. If you want to keep Mark Sears
or Mark sliding over to the two at times, I guess.
Or Mark's, yeah, I don't know. I suppose it's a good problem to have if you believe in the talent in both guys. And there are a lot. I mean, Mark Sears showed you what he can do last year. He would be, if Mark Sears comes back, he is Janai's primary competition for preseason player of the year in the SEC. And then to add a player like Aiden, you know, it's a up and down first year at Auburn, but at times he certainly showed you why he was the prospect he was.
334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. It's Bill, Dan, and Brian. Drew at the controls here on the Monday Drive. We'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Come on in and join us.
Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Drive here on this Monday afternoon. Bill and Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com here in the studio with Drew at the controls. Dan Skyping in today from home, and we'd love for you to join in. You can join us on the Drive hotline or text us on the Drive text box. Those numbers, 334-321-1390 for the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar, and 334-564-1840 for the Drive text box presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. And hey, we'd been given tickets, and we went to the Googe Saturday night, Dan and Sarah Evans was there. Put on a good show.
Hey,
guess who was in the row right behind us?
Is he someone who knows Sarah Evans?
He's someone who's a big fan of Sarah Evans, but he's someone who sponsors our text box and sponsors. That's right. Derek and his lovely bride
that's wonderful.
Angela, we're right behind us. When we came in and sat down, it's like, oh wow, because we had seats gifted that were regular season ticket seats down on like row A. I mean, so we're right down there near the front, and there's Derek in his regular seats on row B. So we had a good time on Saturday night talking a little. We talked a little sports as well as music.
And a happy anniversary, right? Is that the occasion?
Yeah.
That was
for that. Yes, we had our anniversary was yesterday, so actually we made it a couple of days of entertainment with some music. Had a concert we were going to go to last night that got canceled over in Montgomery, so we went for a double feature at the movies yesterday.
Oh right, yeah. And what did you as advertised? Did you do Ghostbusters and Dune?
Yeah. Yeah, that was a nice double dip. I mean, just a little fun with the first one, and Dune I thought was really good.
I know, you know what? I have heard nothing but positive stuff about Dune 2. Like even you know, and I didn't realize because I really liked the first one. I didn't realize how many people were out there who were big fans of it too. But I've heard nothing but good to very good raves consistently about the Dune sequel.
Oh yeah, no question. I said although I did turn to Kathy and said, you know, I feel like they could have called it Sand Wars. It's like
the bummer is there is that the source material for Dune predates Star Wars.
I know it does. Yeah, I mean, but that's what it feels like, you know.
It's the same thing if you ever saw John Carter, the movie from like a decade ago.
Oh, I remember that.
Like, yeah. So John Carter's based on stuff that predates all of this sci-fi material, but because all the sci-fi material is sort of, you know, it's been influenced by it.
Yeah, you feel
John
like
Carter
yeah.
felt derivative.
The big difference, though, in Star Wars, Luke doesn't turn into Vader. He stays Luke, more or less. Where in Dune, that guy kind of turns into Vader.
Oh, it's a and how about Elvis in Dune?
Yeah,
2, right?
Yeah. Kathy did not recognize him because I said, That's Elvis. She goes, no. And then I said, yes. Then you can
white?
See it a little later. You can see it a little later on his lips. But yeah.
Oh, that guy's good.
Yeah. Yeah. It was good. Fun time. Fun time was had yesterday. So yeah. So while we're doing that, it's like I'm keeping up every once in a while wanting to check and see, all right, what are scores? Is any breaking news, things going on? And as we're, you know, I'm checking some of the comments from people about Aiden Holloway and seeing things about Auburn's additions and subtractions in the transfer portal.
Bill, you saw what I sent you during the commercial break. I still feel like that's the question, right? With Aiden is like, you know, after he chooses Alabama.
Well,
you know, I'm sort of like, well, it's curious to me that like Trey Donaldson is going somewhere where it seems like he will be going into the season the starter or in line for a lot of playing time if he's not necessarily the starter. It seems like he's going to Michigan to be the starter. Aiden's going to a situation more complicated than that, which makes his departure from Auburn a little bit more puzzling because
his departure isn't as puzzling to me as does he not know what his role is going to be at Alabama? That's more puzzling to me, because I can understand him feeling like, hey, Auburn's in the market for another point guard. I was splitting time this past year as is, so I can see going into the portal.
I'll throw out the possibility. Maybe Aiden Holloway understands that the best thing for him is another year of limited minutes as a point guard, and it's just a question with the best team possible, and it's just that for whatever reason, another year at Auburn wasn't an option. You know, things have gone wrong to the point where he probably needed to go into the portal. And the fact that he's saying the things he said in that article makes it sound like the relationship had gotten pretty frosty, you know, towards the end of the season, and a change of scenery was the best thing for him. And it's like, and that's if true, that's a shame, you know, without necessarily putting the blame on anyone, because maybe you miss out on a chance to benefit down the road from the talent that we still think is there with Aiden Holloway.
Yeah, my question to him would be, what direction did the Auburn offense, did the offense go that was bad? I mean, obviously the Yale game
does.
Was, but I mean, was Auburn not playing pretty darn well coming down the stretch into the tournament?
I don't want to seem critical, and I want to give Aiden Holloway the benefit of the doubt. I want to be as fair as possible. The quotes that I saw made it seem like he was pointing the finger a little bit and not taking any accountability for his role in offensive struggles.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't very good. I mean, I'm just being honest.
He couldn't shoot the ball well once he got into SEC play.
Again, I don't want this to seem like we're going to, you know, pinata Aiden Holloway because he's going to Alabama instead of Auburn, but it does, like, that is you know, those were the, yeah, that was sort of what stuck out to me about the quotes as well. And, you know, I think the strategy of going to, you know, going to a place like Bama, especially if Mark Sears comes back, and spending a year getting better without necessarily being the starting quarterback, and then eventually being the guy, like, I think that could be the best thing for him.
I don't think that's what he's planning to do, though. I don't think
it's hard for me to believe that, too,
of going to Alabama and playing limited
and being a backup.
I think he's planning to go in there and be a starter and be a major contributor.
Now, Brian did have one other possibility. Perhaps Alabama's NIL offer is just something overwhelming.
And I would also throw out there the possibility maybe Mark Sears is going pro.
Maybe.
Right? And the talk that, you know, he's because I'll say this, if Mark Sears comes back, it doesn't feel like they're, I mean, Alabama went out and got that guard from South Florida as well, who was a 40% 3-point shooter. The player who had started at Kennesaw State and had transferred went down to South Florida, Youngblood. He's from Tuscaloosa. Like, they added him as well as sort of an off-ball option. So I would think that if Sears comes back, I mean, I don't know where the starter's minutes come from for Aiden Holloway, but I still think he could be a contributor and someone who serves as Mark Sears' insurance and the successor to Mark Sears at that position. But like you guys are saying, like, I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt here. Maybe he envisions a different role for himself there, but I would think that could be the best thing for him to spend a year as Mark Sears' understudy and then eventually succeed Mark Sears. If he was open to that sort of role, though, you do wonder why he didn't want to take it here as an understudy to a veteran point guard like JPP is.
I don't think he's open to that role. I just don't know by that. If that's what happens,
it might be the best. It might be the best thing for him, but I don't know that that's what he's expecting right now.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, I guess the next domino would be, what does Mark Sears do?
Yeah, you're right.
You know that. You know what does Mark Sears stay in the NBA draft or return to Alabama, and then you go from there.
We'd love.
I would think if Sears and Nelson come back, I mean, we are looking at a year where Auburn and Alabama both feel like preseason top 10, top 15 teams, and we just don't have many years like that.
We've never had a year like that. There's never been a year when Auburn and Alabama have been in a preseason top 10 in basketball.
And do you think we're looking at that right now? If the guys
there are a couple of services. Yeah, I was on with Doug earlier today, and he quoted, I don't remember exactly which ones, but he said he's seen a couple of preseason polls that have both teams in the top 10.
Yeah, no, I mean, deservedly so. If with what Auburn brings back right now from a team that was, you know, a top 10 KenPom team all season last year, it absolutely makes, especially, and you got to keep in mind too, so many other teams are in flux. I mean, Duke is bringing in this excellent recruiting class, but a lot of the, you know, a lot of the expected contributors for Duke have moved on. UConn lost its core to the NBA draft. Purdue lost its core to graduation and the NBA draft. A lot of the perennial top 10 teams are still rebuilding their roster, while Auburn brings back a roster full of contributors from last season. I think it makes perfect sense for Auburn to be a preseason top 10 team. And then if Alabama, with the way they, I know it was an up and down season, and you don't want to put too much on the tournament, but with what they showed you in the tournament, if they bring back Sears and Nelson, a lot of what you're saying about Auburn bringing back so much experience, a lot of it's true of Alabama too. And in stark contrast to so much of the league, right? Arkansas and Kentucky.
You don't know.
And Tennessee. I mean, Tennessee lost Vescovi and Connect.
Right.
And Triple J and Ziegler from last year's team. I mean, there are coaches all over the conference and all over the country still picking up the pieces, while Bruce Pearl is unquestionably in a position of strength compared to almost anybody else. And Nate Oates, if he gets the right answers from Nelson and Sears, is right there with him.
Yeah, Brian, we were looking at it the other day, and with the addition of J.P. Pegues, I believe Auburn has 7 players that'll be playing their final year of college basketball this year.
It's going to be a good team next year. And I think Pegues is the best point guard since probably Jalen Harper at Auburn. I think that's a fair statement.
I think that's, yeah, I think that's reasonable.
And I think he's a perfect fit into the personnel Auburn comes back with. I see Pegues as a guy, if your top playmaker is knocked out of an NCAA first-round game in the first 2 minutes, I see him as a guy that can still take over the take control of the team and run it and find a way for Auburn to win that game. Auburn didn't have that last year. So I think he just adds an immense amount of experience, talent, and I think his skills fit in perfectly with what Auburn has, especially their bigs.
I want to be careful with best because I feel like Javon McCormick and Sharif Cooper and Wendell Green all had like their own, you know, they had unique skill sets. I've been saying, Brian,
yeah, I don't JT really. I don't look at McCormick as a point, but yes, I agree with you on the other two. But
oh no, I think McCormick was the point guard the year after Jared Harper left, and you know the final season. But it's I would say
that'd be
he's
right.
The most he's Pegues is the most similar to Jared Harper as a player. He's got the pull up from however. Take it to the basket. I mean, he's the vision, like a lot of what, and the experience, you know, coming in, having started 50 something games as a point guard in a 3-year career. Like it's like, I think that there are a lot of reasons to have high expectations for JP Pegues and the Jared Harper comparisons feel apt, you know, at the moment as he's a Bruce Pearl point guard in a lot of ways.
Oh yeah.
We'll get to our final break of hour number one. Love for you to join in again, 334-321-1390, or you can text us 334-564-1840 here on the Monday Drive.
I was thinking.
It's time to stop dealing with unreliable. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back in. Final few minutes of hour number one here on the Monday Drive with Bill, Dan, and Brian Matthews from auburnsports.com. As in case you're just joining us, missed the beginning of the show, a lot of news today from the transfer portal. Auburn adding a player and losing a player today, making it two additions and is it two or three subtractions over the last few days?
Two.
What do you guys?
Fair and Wesley Steiner.
Yeah.
What do you guys make of the two defensive linemen that Auburn picked up? Do they both slot in right next to Trill and Gage as potential starters?
And Jason.
Inside?
Yeah.
Guys, and Jason Jones. Yeah. I mean, do you have five guys rotating for two spots right now? Maybe more.
Well, I think Rakes will be the starter at nose guard, and him and Trill Carter probably work in. This may limit Jason Jones' snaps a little bit. We'll see. At defensive tackle, I don't.
Which isn't, by the way, and Jason Jones having limited snaps, to say nothing about his potential at that size. That's probably a good thing, right? To keep him as fresh as possible when you are the biggest player, like the biggest defensive lineman in Auburn history. Maybe finding a way to keep him at his most effective with a deeper rotation of guys is the best thing.
And I don't know that Bleedy is any better or worse than Gage Keys. I just think they'll compete, and we'll see. But I think both of them will be in that rotation.
It's just nice to have those that number of options, and then you've got
experienced guys,
younger, inexperienced players behind them.
Absolutely.
No, I was just – I mean, and we do wonder – I mean, I guess it would lead you to wonder if any of the other options competing for those snaps could jump into the portal if they don't see a path to getting on the field a lot this year.
I guess they certainly could. They've got a week now. You know, you've got eight
more
days.
They still have a week, and I mean, I'm still optimistic that you know guys like Bobby Jamison Travis and DJ Reed and even Zakevious Walker, can compete and be part of this rotation as well. DJ Durkin is. You know, one of the trademarks of his defense, we say it's a trademark of a lot of the best defenses, but he's big on you cannot overtax your defensive linemen. You know, once they're out of gas, they're out of gas for the whole game. So you need to do what you can to keep them fresh with early and often rotating. So maybe it's going to be a big group of guys for two or three spots. But Maybe that's a spot where we can see some attrition.
Yeah, and then, Brian, one guy we haven't mentioned at the receiver spot, Keandre Lambert-Smith.
Yes.
Visiting Auburn. I mean, the Penn State receiver who is a very highly sought after, making Auburn his first stop.
Yes, and he's got some other big stops to go. Oh, yep. I know he goes to A&M, Texas A&M, USC.
Colorado.
I think. Colorado. So USC and A&M are two schools that have, generally speaking, thrown out a lot more NIL than some other schools, in my opinion. Although it seems like USC made some promises that they haven't been able to keep.
Yeah, they've had a lot of players enter the portal after just being there for 3 months or so.
Yeah, so that's interesting. But we'll see. I think Auburn is in it. He had a really good visit, but going to have to wait at least a couple of weeks, I think.
All right, we are halfway done here on the Monday Drive. Love for you to join in hour number two, which is coming up.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number two here on the Monday Drive. Beautiful Monday afternoon, and glad to have you with us. Bill, Dan, and Brian Matthews. It's the regular three here on this Monday, although Dan is on location. Dan's actually Skyping in from home. He was feeling a little under the weather, and we appreciate him, his concern for us as well as him, and hope he is better tomorrow. But he's with us via Skype. We have Drew at the controls, and we'd love for you to join in here in hour number two of The Drive, which is brought to you, as usual, by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. And you can call us on The Drive hotline. That is sponsored by Skybar, and that number is 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show 334-564-1840 on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts. Bill, I was concerned about, I didn't want to get you sick or Brian sick or any of the outstanding people there in the studio. My primary concern, though, I'd never forgive myself if I got Bill sick and he passed it on to little Kennedy, right? Like, that's the main concern, Bill, is that the grandkid can't, and I know you've been spending a lot of time with her lately.
Yeah, we went to the Montgomery Zoo Saturday morning.
Ooh, hey, wow.
Yeah, she had a blast.
Does she have a favorite?
She loves giraffes. She loves the giraffes. So I mean, you know, she didn't like. She didn't like the little the bird cage. They've got a little cage.
Oh yeah,
where the birds fly around. You can feed them, and they'll fly. I mean, I had like three on my shoulder, and they're like tickling your neck. They were a little too close for her because they buzz your head, and they fly by. That sort of startled her, and we had to exit the little the big bird cage.
She maybe could scream louder than some of those birds.
She really liked seeing the birds, but you know it's a little different when they fly right by your face.
It was gorgeous weather this week.
Oh, it really was.
A zoo visit, yeah. So that's a cool thing you got to do with little Kennedy.
Oh yeah, yeah. Hey, we're talking anything that you would like here, sports wise. Love to hear from some folks your thoughts on the Aiden Holloway to Alabama transfer. We were thinking about it. I mean, no question, this is he is the most prominent player that I can ever recall going from one to the other in this state.
Yeah.
I mean, there have been some instances. Corey Grant played a big role on a very good Auburn football team. Auburn's picked up, a defensive back from Alabama this year who was a four-star, but heck, Alabama was loaded with five stars.
Right.
The thing is, Aiden Holloway was one of the most highly touted players that Auburn had ever signed in basketball.
Yeah.
And so that's what makes it like, oh, wow, this is significant. this would be like, I'm trying to think of, what would it, just to pick a player from Alabama in a sport, and it would be like them transferring to Auburn. It'd be like, you know, the, heck, they've had so many more in football.
Well, no, you know what it would have been, Bill, is had Tua not, you know, jumped in at the end and saved the day there, you know, back in 2017.
Well, sort of be like if Jalen Milroe had gone into the portal in the offseason and wound up at Auburn.
I mean, and I think that, you know, you got to be careful because Aiden is still, you know, it was an up and down season for Aiden, as opposed to like somebody who had like a, you know, a championship or Heisman level kind of season at quarterback. But it's not like something like this is, I mean, it's rare in the, and I think we also just saw a Michigan player choose Ohio State and vice versa as well. I mean, I think those sorts of lines are just going to be trampled on. Forget about Cross.
It was rare. Right? It's not like rare anymore.
In the era of the transfer portal, kids aren't. I mean, if the best offer comes from your school's arch rival, you're not even gonna blink.
Yeah, that's right. What about Jalen Hurts? Maybe going to Auburn instead of Oklahoma. Auburn would have loved to have him back then, right?
Yeah, you're right about that. I still think that there's an alternate universe 2019, as good as Bo was as a true freshman. There's an alternate universe 2019 where Auburn's defense and Jalen Hurts is a really tough out for everybody in college football. And yeah, it would have been, you know, akin to something like that, to, you know, a guy playing that much and then making the jump. It seemed unthinkable not all that long ago, and now I think it's just going to be it's the first of many.
Oh yeah, I wouldn't doubt that at all. 334-321-1390. We'll get to the drive hotline. Who do we have up first?
Greg.
Hey, Greg.
Hey guys, how y'all doing?
All right.
Hey, Greg.
Hey, Bo. I hope you're getting feeling better, man.
Oh no, I'm already feeling better. It's precautionary. I'll be in the studio tomorrow.
Well, we've had the pink eye running around my house.
Ooh, that'll do it.
I've been saying, well, I ain't got it yet, but I'm so paranoid. These sinuses don't help me none either. But, no, that Aiden stuff, I tell you what, just looking at the pictures, just kind of, I mean, it sounds like the kid had an axe to grind. I'll be honest with you, you know, he come in 5-star, and he didn't have the best year. He kind of started out, you know, fine, but I think he had that freshman slump, and his confidence a little shaken. I think he's going to be a good ball player. I think he'll be a good ball player for Alabama. And, you know, I think he's a good ball player. I think his attitude and all that is, you know, I know y'all can't say some things, but I'm gonna just say it. I mean, the kid was a 5-star, but he needed 2-star work ethic. He needed to be humbled a little bit. And Bruce Pearl told him, hey, you know, I want you back. But, I mean, I'm going – we're trying to win. I mean, y'all going to leave, you can transfer. If you're going to transfer and cut to Alabama, why wouldn't I recruit over your head and the best player going to win? You know, we did good. Everybody can say what they want. But the two-point guard system, you know, we didn't lose that many games this year.
No, Auburn, that's right. Auburn finished 27-7, right? Was that right? 27-8, 27-7. Yeah, something like that.
We never should have lost that game to Yale. But, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, it happens. You know, it's March, you know. I wish one of them would have stepped up. And to me, I think, you know, the other point guard, I think he stepped up a little bit more than Aiden at times. I think Aiden, you know, the offense went kind of stale. Then when you had Trey coming off the bench, you know, it's like that second, you know, for a while there, guys, I know y'all remember, you know, the second group come in and breathe a little life into them and got going
like
a little
sometimes
bit.
They outdid the first group,
well,
right.
It felt like with Holloway, you know, the offense with Holloway had a higher ceiling, but it also had a lower floor, right? Things could go really wrong with Holloway on the floor at the point guard spot. And when they did, you know, Bruce would make a change. Now, things could also, you know, he provided an element. Probably a better. I know the numbers would tell you otherwise, but I would think Aiden would project as a better outside shooter than Trey, right? Is somebody who's a more, you know, and a more skilled all around offensive player, but also someone who is prone to mistakes. And I think that folks have, you know, they've raised questions about I don't know. What's the diplomatic way to do this, Bill? Maturity?
Yeah, yeah, I mean,
I don't think his work ethic has ever been an issue.
I wasn't concerned about his work ethic. I think you could see it, and it's understandable. It's human nature. You could see he was down and not happy when things weren't going well. But I mean, it's hard to imagine somebody who has been the best player on the court and always been able to shoot, and from all reports, still was lights out in practice, just struggling as much as he did shooting the ball. And you could tell it didn't turn into turnovers, but it also didn't seem like there was as much life continuity or enthusiasm. Yeah.
Yeah. But, well, you know, I know y'all say the work ethic, you know, I know the boys are going to work hard. Bruce Pearl demands. And he's going to do the best to get the best out of it. And he went to bat for him multiple times, but now, I'm saying way with anybody. I'm not going. It don't matter if I'm coaching my son or whoever it is. You get what you earn, and I know that was said to him. He said, "Hey, look, I want you back, but you're going to earn it. You know, ain't nobody giving you nothing. I don't care if you're 5-star or not. Yeah, you can shoot. We'll keep working with you, and we'll get you come through. I mean, we got a guy right here. You know, we're just trying to, win some ball games. You got all these seniors come back, and you feel like you let a lot of meat on the bone this year. So, you know, if he can't handle that and he wants to go to Alabama, that's fine. But I tell you right now, I ain't got nothing for the boy when he comes back to Auburn. I mean, I wish him the best. I don't wish no ill will toward him. But I think in maturity-wise, he let me down a big time, and I don't call him an Auburn man. So I ain't going to apologize for that.
Well, there's no question. Anyway, I mean,
moving on.
He's got to be preparing himself. When he comes here, it's going to be the most hostile environment he's ever been in. I mean, it's just there's no way around that.
Well, I hope the best for him in life. I hope he learns from everything, and he's been given a great opportunity and a talent, God-given talent. I hope the best for him. But I think, you know, going forward in the future, I hope that he can be able to admit that he might need to handle things a little bit better in the face of adversity. And when he's got a challenge like that, I call that work ethic. You work hard, and you're a 5-star. Don't mean you stop. You're always gonna have challenges. So anyway, but I'm going to say something about these football guys. I mean, look, I've heard something about some quarterbacks we kind of looking at, and some people said some things, and I'm going to say a little bit because I know I'm running short, but if you wind up getting this Juju guy or whatever his name is.
Yeah, Julian it is Newman, Juju whatever. Lewis, yeah.
Yeah, just Lewis. If you get him, I mean, look, you're trying to put the best guy on the field. And I could appreciate something like that. You know, I'm rooting for Walker White. I am. I was rooting for Bo Nix. But, you know, it seems like they're trying to put better pieces around these guys to do that. And with the transfer portal and kind of way Auburn's getting some things going here in the defensive line, you know, getting that room, some depth in it. And maybe they can all gel together pretty good. And I know we got some freshmen. We got some returning guys. And maybe we can hold on to a few of them receivers. I think it's got the talent. I think it's a bridge year. I don't think by any means that our quarterback's going to go out there and throw for 3,000 yards. I just don't think he has it. And quite frankly, I be honest with you, I think your best running back's your third option. As far as, you know, I don't know. He's got the opportunity to do it anyway. I just don't see our running backs always hitting the hole. It just don't seem like sometimes I just don't see the hole. I don't know what the deal is with that. I mean, even A-Day was ho-hum, but someone did point out,
and we appreciate the phone call. Great stuff there. But Jarquez seemed to have an adjustment from what Brian Harsin's offense was doing to what Hugh Freeze was doing. I'm curious to see. Also a tumultuous offseason for Jarquez last year. So I'm curious to see what it looks like in year two for him. Look, Alston and Cobb, right? If you're buying stock, like, I think those two guys are only going to get better as college football players. Really love Cobb's skill set. You know, like Jeremiah Cobb just seems to, you know, he just seems to do a lot of what a very modern running back needs to do. Maybe more of a passing, maybe more of a threat in the passing game in year two. We'll see. But I like Auburn's situation at running back a lot.
Appreciate the call, Greg.
He mentioned Julian Lewis, Juju Lewis. He is a prospect in the 25 class.
Right. I think he was talking about him with Walker. And that's something you had better be doing now. Of course, you better be doing it all the time, is always trying to upgrade your roster. Right. No matter what you have, you want to try to bring in somebody who is at least as good to be competing for that job. And, hey, hopefully the better man wins. And if the runner-up doesn't like it, then they can hit the transfer portal. That's what the portal's all about.
That's right. And he's committed to USC. He's expected to officially visit Auburn in mid-June. And Auburn's certainly in the race.
He's been to Auburn a few times, though.
Many times, yes.
All right, 334-321-1390. We need to get to our first break of hour number two. John, hang on. You'll be up when we come back here on the Monday Drive.
Hey, this is Billy Plummer with ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Monday afternoon, and we will be getting to the drive hotline sponsored by Skybar momentarily. But Brian, as we were talking earlier, Auburn was very close, and they have added yet another player in the transfer portal.
Yeah, Kieron Crawford is officially signed with Auburn. I think this is one of the most important additions they've made. I was really concerned about the linebacker position, the pass rushing position. I thought it was short on depth and experience, and he can step right in there and help out right away. 11.5 tackles for loss, 6.5 sacks last year, and a guy that's still developing, getting better. I think he's around
6'4", 245, like that.
Pretty good size, too. Right,
and he was a basketball player who has just sort of had his frame fill out over the last couple of years. He's only been playing football since his senior year in high school, and he is he was a sophomore this past year. I think he played enough where he did not redshirt, so he should have 2 years of eligibility,
which is what you want, because Jalen McLeod has 1 year left. You figure Crawford's going to be good this year, and with a full year under his belt in the SEC, he could be pretty darn good the following year. And then you got those two freshmen coming up behind them. And then I think Auburn's going to sign some really good edge guys in this 25 class too. So
yeah, so Auburn just over the last 48 hours has added two interior defensive linemen and a rush end.
The defense has gotten a lot better.
Yes.
It really has. It's gotten a lot better. Yeah.
All right, let's get to the drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. And John is up next. Hey, John.
Hey, guys, I didn't catch part of the first hour with Brian, so if I missed this question, my apologies. But do we anticipate – it's just unfathomable to me how bad Auburn baseball is. Do we anticipate any staff changes there? Because if I'm not mistaken on this, I think they've got to win 7 conference games to avoid the least amount of conference wins they've had since 1965. So this is, like, historically bad.
Yeah, those seasons weren't 30 games, I don't think, were they?
I'm not sure. One of them, I think the worst is 2006 under Slater. I think Auburn won 8 conferences.
Yeah, 8-22.
Right. So 30. So really bad. And then second point was kudos to Coach Harris with women's basketball.
That you're talking about hit the portal well.
Good for them.
Yeah, I saw where they had the third-ranked portal class right now in women's college basketball. So great job by her. That's all I really had, guys.
Appreciate the call, John.
You know, I don't know for sure, but usually when things go south, changes get made. But I can't, maybe a little bit too early to start saying something.
It's hard to imagine when things are going as poorly as they are right now with baseball that you don't shake some things up.
Right.
Like I said, though, it's been crazy because it's not the same thing all the time.
Nope.
It'll be pitching for a couple of weekends. This past weekend, they go to Mississippi State and pitch the best that they have for a series in conference play and can't score.
Yep. It's just it's everything that can't go wrong seems to go wrong. Every decision that's made is the wrong one. I'm not saying they're making the wrong decisions. It just turns out not to work out. It's tough right now.
Yeah, I mean, you play 3 games, you give up 12 earned runs, and you get swept.
Yep.
That's bad when you only score more than one run one game, and that when you had a 3-1 lead and you end up losing it an extra 4-3.
Yeah. The silver lining is that because of the era we're in college athletics, someone who's really good can have a rough couple of months in the off season and go from national champion to out of the postseason in a year. And teams that are out of the postseason can bounce back very quickly and improve and go from bottom two, bottom four in the conference to a championship contender in a year. So all is not lost, even if you have a disappointing or even historically bad season. But, you know, it doesn't guarantee you any success a year later either, just because things can turn around quickly.
No, you're right. No, and you know, I'm more on the page you were on last week, Dan, when it was talking. All right, look, right now Auburn's got they've got a hill, pretty good hill to climb just to make the SEC tournament now.
Yeah.
You know, you got to be.
That's really all you're playing for at the moment.
Yeah, that is right. They've got to move up a few spots to just make the SEC tournament. And they're playing, you're seeing some more younger guys getting in there as the season goes on. You just
a couple of decent starting outings yesterday, right? Like if you're looking for
Carson Myers
was terrific.
Really pitched well.
Yep.
And then was Tanner the starter in the first game of the two? And then I thought that was right. He was
pitched well for four innings, and then the bullpen gave up I can't remember how many runs they gave up, but yeah, it was just. Just couldn't
and, you know,
quite get over.
That was sort of the, you know, Brian, what Bill was alluding to there. You know, last week I was saying, even with the understanding that Auburn's going to have work to do on the recruiting trail and in the portal to turn things around next season, I'd love for a starter to emerge as someone you can count on as a weekend starter next season, let alone, I'm not going to get greedy and say, let's have someone who has, looks like he has the makings of a Friday night guy. In the next couple of weeks, but I'd love for a Tanner Bauman or a Carson Myers or a John Armstrong to show that they can be part of next year's solution.
That would be big if they could have some guys stepping up, and they have some freshmen that are stepping up. Cale Strickland, the freshman catcher, was one of the few guys that really swung the bat well at Mississippi State, and Kay Ballou from right here in Auburn has been swinging the bat really well here recently. Caleb Friedman, a JUCO transfer, has been playing well lately.
Yeah, he hit his first homer, right?
Yep. He needs to be in the lineup more.
Of course, the scary thing now is a guy who has a great finish. I think he's coming back, but if he has,
yeah, there's no guarantees.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, look, I'm still worried that some of the veterans that are slated to be on next year's team could have a decision to make if we're talking about a 6-24 or an 8-22 Auburn Tiger season this year, right? So it's a pickle to use baseball terms, Bill.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I mean, it's right now you just gotta try to battle and just play every game and just see what happens and
survive the at bat is what you got to do right now.
Survive the at bat or the batter if you're a pitcher. Yeah, it's tough. We'll talk with Cooper McMurray in just a few minutes. We'll get his thoughts as Auburn's got its final midweek home game coming up tomorrow afternoon, and then they travel to Baton Rouge this weekend, an LSU team that picked up and won its first series this past weekend and is now, now trying to position itself a little bit better. You know, they were just a game ahead of Auburn heading in this past weekend. And, now they're thinking if they can get hot, like we were talking about Auburn a week or so ago, if they can get hot down the stretch, the defending national champs aren't out of the running for the postseason by any means.
It's a talented team, too.
Yeah, it is.
Right? Like, it's not a team that people – that they are a – we talk about it more in basketball than baseball, but even in baseball, we saw the Ole Miss team that was on the bubble make the tournament and win the whole thing. couple of years ago. Like a team like LSU, all they got to do is get in, and they are no picnic for anybody. They'd love to be playing at home, but just because you've got LSU at home, it's no guarantee you're going to win.
No, well, they've got LSU, but LSU's in Baton Rouge.
No, I'm saying in the postseason.
Yeah, that's true.
Like once you get the postseason,
LSU, for anybody,
LSU would love to be playing at home. But if they get into the postseason, you know, they'll come to your building, and if they're playing well, they might beat you.
Oh yeah, no question. All right, we'll do that in a few minutes again, in case you're just joining us. Some big news. Auburn has added two players from the transfer. Auburn football with two additions from the transfer portal today. Brian, with Isaiah Rakes and Kieron Crawford.
Yeah, two big additions. I think Rakes is your starting nose guard this year. We'll see. He'll compete with Troy Carter and Jason Jones. And I think Crawford has a chance to come in here and be 1-2 at butt linebacker right away and help out. And that position really needed some more veteran guys.
You know,
I was saying during spring practice, Bill, that I thought the Buck, not because they needed a lot more talent at the position necessarily, because I think they really like McLeod and they really like the young guys behind McLeod. But if something were to happen to Jalen McLeod, it would be a big load on the
freshman
young players,
yeah,
that are behind him on the depth chart, and being able to find somebody who, yeah, maybe he spends a year obtaining major conference experience behind Jalen McLeod and then steps in as a starter a year later. That would be a That'd be a great situation for Auburn to have, especially with a guy who is relatively new to football, off the charts athleticism, excited to be part of an SEC team coming from the Sun Belt, and a guy who gives you more at a really important position.
And Brian, I go back to some comments Hugh Freeze made to us back after the season, before spring practice, when he was talking about the approach to the transfer portal. You can see that has changed.
Yes.
And the results, I believe, are dramatic as far as Auburn being able to add to its depth of talent here by they're now making every effort to be right there at the top, the first, if they can be, the first team to get in contact and get players on campus.
They're doing a much better job of getting on kids early and often, and I think they understand better that that's how you have to do it in the transfer portal. It's not like
high school
where you build up these long-term relationships over many, many years.
And you can let them compare other places before they come in,
right,
to visit you. You try that in the transfer portal, they may never make it in.
Exactly. But he brought in Will from LSU, the general, I don't know if he's general manager.
Oh, yeah, I'm blanking on his name, too. You're right.
But I think he's made a big, big difference with the staff and how they handle the portal, and I would give him a lot of credit for that.
All right, we will get to our bottom of the hour break, Tiger Takes, with Cooper McMurray coming up on the other side. Stick with us here on the Monday Drive.
1067 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Monday afternoon. Bill, Brian Matthews from Auburn Sports here in the studio. Dan is Skyping in today. And it's time now for our weekly Tiger Take segment, brought to you by the Alsobrook Law Group. When you need legal assistance, call Zach. He's got your back. Or find him on the web at alsolaw.com. And we're joined once again by Auburn first baseman Cooper McMurray. Coop, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Man, doing great. Loving this weather. This is about as perfect as it gets. Now, you guys didn't have the best weather on Saturday. It was your first trip, as we were talking last week, over to Stark. Well, what'd you think of the experience there?
I wish it would have been a little bit better, to be honest with you.
Sure.
But, you know, that stadium is, you know, obviously one of the best in college baseball. So it was pretty cool getting to play there. But yeah, you know. Wish it could have been better.
Yeah, I mean, three quality starts, really, if you will, on the mound. Something that you know, that I know you guys have been looking for. Just the big hits just didn't drop over the weekend.
Yeah, you know, our starters gave us a chance in every game. So it's pretty frustrating on the offensive side, not being able to get that big hit or the, you know, strand some hits together. But I guess credit to their starters. You know, those are three really good pitchers. And, yeah, you know, I just wish we could have gotten a couple more extra base hits or a couple more hits in big situations.
Yeah, I mean, had really had opportunities yesterday, leading and having a chance there in the second game. Carson really pitched well. I didn't get a chance to catch the games yesterday. It was our anniversary, so I mean, give me a break a little bit. It's like,
happy anniversary, thanks.
But I mean, just I was keeping up, just checking the scores every so often, and I mean, it's so frustrating when you feel like you've got those opportunities, you're so close, and man, you just need one to fall in or need to just get a break at some time to try to get this thing turned around.
Yeah, I mean, Carson gave us a really good chance. You know, we only had two hits in game two, but we had a chance to win that ball game. Mm-hmm. And you know, just not being able to get it done, and not being able to get it done from the offensive side too. I mean, Christian Hall had all of our hits, and it was two of them. So pretty frustrating on the offensive side of the ball yesterday. But yeah, I think it's just realizing how close we are to being. Having a way better record in league play, and you know, just not being able to get it done has been the most frustrating part. But you know, I still got faith in all of my guys, and you know, I'm proud of the way they competed, and they have been competing all year. So I think it's, you know, it's just one of those weekends where you gotta flush it and move on.
And it's the mark of a kind of a star-crossed season in a way, where the starting pitching struggled to begin league play, and now as the starting pitching improves from where it was at the beginning of conference play, it feels like the offense suddenly hits a bit of a cold stretch. But you mentioned Carson, and we talked last week after the start Tanner Bauman gave you. Like, to me, a silver lining amid this season is that you might have a guy or two in that bullpen or in the rotation who can find his way over the last couple of weekends and really emerge into somebody that folks should expect as a weekend starter next year.
Yeah, I mean, I think they both competed really well, and even Watts on Friday night, you know, he gave us a chance to win that ball game. So yeah, no, I was proud of those three guys and the way that they shoved the ball in the zone and competed for us. You know, they gave it their alls out there, and so that's why it's so frustrating from the offensive side, is, you know, not being able to get that one big hit, or, you know, it's because you want to do it for your teammates and you want to do it for your guys in the locker room. But so, you know, it's tough when you can't get that done.
Talking with Cooper McMurray, Auburn first baseman, here with Tiger Takes on the Monday edition of The Drive. And you know, you don't want to be making excuses, but look, your lineup is not completely healthy by any means. You don't have Mason Maynard for the weekend. Bobby Pierce is obviously, trying to get back. And Ike's playing, but, since the hand injury, it doesn't quite look like the same Ike. Again, don't want to say that's the reason, but it's surely a factor.
Yeah, I think definitely those three guys are, you know, part of the heartbeat in our lineup, and you know, not having them out there sucks. But you know, at that point, you know, it's kind of next man up, and you need to get quality at bat from the guys that are, you know, thrown into the lineup. And I think for a little bit we did that. You know, I thought Caleb Freeman had some good at bats yesterday, and Cade Ballou's been having great at bats since he's kind of been thrown in there.
Cale Strickland,
Cale Strickland has great at bats every time he's up there. He competes his butt off. So. Yeah, and even Carter Wright, you know, Carter Wright gets in there and, you know, he pinch hit in the eighth inning on Saturday or yesterday and, you know, gets a knock. So it's good to see those guys compete and, you know, just give it their alls out there.
Coop, who sort of takes the lead among the players on this team? Who sort of takes the lead in keeping spirits high and keeping guys bought in and believing that they're still – A lot to play for this season after a start like this?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a pretty veteran group, so I think we got a lot of them. You know, Bobby Pierce, Tanner Bauman's a great locker room guy. You know, all the guys look up to him. So having him in the locker room has been awesome. You know, I try to do my part. It's a really collective effort. You know, I think at times when the team's struggling and like we are right now, I think it's important to have more than one or two guys step up. So, you know, seeing more guys every week, trying to be a leader and trying to do their part has been cool to see. So hopefully it'll pay off.
Well, we appreciate you being, you know, you spending time with us each week. No, it hadn't been the easiest thing, as it's not all just sunshine and roses and everything while we're talking about this. Hard to believe that tomorrow afternoon is the last home weekday game of the season, isn't it?
Yeah, I saw that on Instagram or something that they posted that, and I was like, that seemed like it went really fast. So, yeah. Yeah, you know, got two series left at Plainsman Park and tomorrow. So, you know, just soaking it all in and, you know, trying to go out there and compete.
And then after that game tomorrow, you head to Baton Rouge. All right, what I was talking about with the trip to Starkville was just the atmosphere, the setting, and the crowd. That's a fun place to go play. I mean, as a competitor, you want to go into those places where the crowd's really into it and giving you catcalls and whatever from the stands.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's part of what makes college baseball great. You know, you got all these fantastic, especially in the SEC, you got all these fantastic environments, you know, like Duty Noble and the Box that we're going to this weekend, and Arkansas and A&M and places like that. So, yeah, you know, it's really cool and special that we're all fortunate enough to be in that spot to, you know, be able to go and compete there in front of the visiting fans. And, you know, even if they give us a little crap here and there, but, you know, it's all fun. It's fun to compete.
Oh, yeah, no question about it, and you're right. Going from Duty Noble to Alex Box is going to be quite the experience, because, I mean, you talk about some that is two groups of fans, the Auburn fans as well, but that really get into it and have a good time and let the opposition know that they're having a good time too.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, those two are classical programs in college baseball history, and you know, their fans love it. So being able to go there and those two places and play has been pretty cool, and I'm looking forward to this weekend.
One thing, I don't guess we even asked you this at the beginning of the season, and it's something that I know a lot of guys don't particularly want to talk about, but, I mean, you have team goals, you have some personal goals and things set. How are you feeling about your season up to this point, just personally?
Yeah, you know, I think started off a little bit slow, but kind of got going these past couple weeks. I think a little bit more consistency would be nice for me. But just trying to be a good leader and help the guys realize that, you know, there's still lots to play for in this season, and, you know, be there for them whenever I can. I'm focused on the team and, you know, the team goals that we have. So I haven't really thought about my performance yet this season, to be honest with you. I've just kind of been rolling with the punches and, you know, waking up every day trying to get these guys ready to go.
I hear you. Well, we really appreciate you spending some time with us each week. Again, final regular season non-conference game, the midweek game tomorrow afternoon. It's cool. It's a 3:00 start over at Plainsman Park. Hopefully a big crowd for that one before you guys head down to Baton Rouge.
Yeah, definitely. That would be nice to see a lot of fans in the stands tomorrow and, you know, supporting us. But, yeah, I know it's excited. I don't remember the last time we played a 3:00 game during the midweek.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that'll be a fun experience.
Well, that's cool. That's Florida A&M tomorrow and then LSU this weekend. Cooper, thanks so much. We really appreciate it. Before we go, once again, let everybody know how they can follow you on social media.
My Instagram is cmcmurray_, and my Twitter is coopmc9.
All right, Coop, thanks again. Best of luck this week.
Yes, sir. Thank you guys so much.
That's Cooper McMurray with Tiger Takes, proudly presented each Monday at 5:30 by the Alsobrook Law Group, on the web at alsolaw.com. We'll get to our final break. Still time for you to join us here on the Monday Drive.
Inspired by the Old Bison.
Devin. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email us at TheDrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive. Final segment here on this Monday afternoon. Again, our thanks to Cooper McMurray joining us. That's tough for him, too. I mean, it's tough for us. I mean, because it really has been a shockingly poor baseball season. Brian, I mean, nobody expected anything like this.
I mean, it started out them playing in, I guess, four of the first five series.
Four of the first five were against the top four teams in the nation.
One, two, three, and four, right? So that's tough for any team. But they have been non-competitive in some of those games, which is, you know, not what do you expect there. The pitching staff has been an issue all season. Now the lineup's been hurt with some injuries. It's just been, you know, it's been tough all around. It is baseball, though. Sometimes all it takes is
baseball
one
can be such a streaky sport
to get it going a little bit. So we'll see. Season is not over. They got
12 conference games.
Yep, 12, and I think three non-conference games. This will be the last home game, but they've still got to go at Georgia Tech, and they play. They play in Hoover. Is it
Sanford or
maybe it's Sanford?
I'm trying to remember. Yeah, they've got a game up there, so we will see. Hey, Brian, we really haven't. We've been talking about the transfer portal and Auburn news and everything. One of the things we usually mention each week is your Monday musing, since it is Monday, and the musing's out today, and a very appropriate one after the sad news over the weekend of the passing of legendary guitarist Dickie Betts.
One of the best guitarists of all time, one of the leaders of the rise of Southern rock. He was a co-founder of Allman Brothers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just imagine, well, you probably can't imagine better than I can, but just imagine, you know, being in that, you know, mid-Florida area and growing up and seeing, you know, Lynyrd Skynyrd and
Tom Petty.
And I guess Marshall Tucker Band was from North Carolina. Uh-huh. Is that right? But still, that incredible music, incredible time for music, in my opinion, the 70s, the best. And he was just a terrific guitar player, songwriter, became the lead singer after Dwayne Allman's untimely, but one of the lead singers
of
the Allman Brothers, after Dwayne's untimely death there in the early 70s for that motorcycle accident. But incredible career he had. The most interesting thing about I thought about the what I wrote about him was going back to almost famous Cameron Crowe. Cameron Crowe was 16 years old when he went on the bus with the Allman Brothers to write a story for Rolling Stone magazine. And 20, 30 years later, he wrote the script for Almost Famous, and he based Russell, the lead singer for, I don't remember the band he was, but was
the
based
Sweetwater
on,
or something?
Yeah, that's it.
He was based on Dickie Betts.
His sports show, Cameron Crowe also wrote Jerry Maguire.
Yep, that's right.
And he also, I believe, Cameron Crowe went undercover at a high school and then wrote Fast Times at Ridgemont High based on, like, I think he spent a year at a high school under an alias and then wrote Fast Times at Ridgemont High based on having spent a year undercover at a Southern California high school. Hey, he also got the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees today. Did you see the?
No,
the
I haven't.
I've got Ozzy Osbourne, Kool and the Gang.
Now, Ozzy, this is probably Ozzy solo, right?
Ozzy solo. Yeah, he's already in with Black Sabbath.
Right.
Kool and the Gang.
Kool and the Gang and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That is
a tribe called Quest, the hip-hop group.
Uh-huh.
Cher, Mary J. Blige, Dave Matthews Band, Peter Frampton, and Foreigner. Foreigner had been part of a public campaign.
That is ridiculous to me that Foreigner hasn't been in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Mick Jones, founding songwriter and lead guitarist. Jones' stepson is Mark Ronson, who's a big music producer today. He produced the Barbie soundtrack, among other things. Mark Ronson put together a video with Jack Black and Slash and Dave Grohl and Paul McCartney, among others, lobbying for Foreigner to get in, and it apparently worked. foreigner inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Well, they're deserving of being in there.
You know, it's hard. You know, you don't really get non-deserving acts getting in, right? It's just a matter of like.
Some, well, there's some that I go, oh, really? But no, I mean.
Because I saw that, I think it was like Oasis, Lenny Kravitz, and Mariah Carey were among the ones that didn't get in. And it's like, I'd be okay with them getting into the Hall of Fame. Like, it's, you know, we're just whittling. I mean, you probably have more Hall of Fame worthy acts than you do spots at this point in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It's just a matter of figuring out who does and who gets in and who doesn't. Cher, Foreigner, Peter Frampton, and Kool and the Gang, they were all first ballot. They'd never been considered.
That's crazy.
For the Rock
that
and Roll
Hall of Fame. That is crazy.
Cher's had a number one song in like 7 decades.
No kidding.
And Peter Frampton, I mean, I know who Peter Frampton is, and, you know, decades of great work. But anyways, saw that news about the Hall of Fame earlier today.
Well, that's cool. Good to hear that. Well, Brian, we haven't, you've still got an opportunity to go ahead and mention your sponsor.
My sponsor for the Monday Musings, your sponsor on this radio station, Uncle Keith's Red Sauce, is absolutely delicious. I was a customer before it became a sponsor. First time I tried it, I was hooked right away. You can get it right here in Auburn at all the Publix around the state, too. Piggly Wiggly's carry it in most locations in the state. I believe the Kroger's in Auburn Opelika carry it. You got to look for it sometimes, not necessarily on the aisle. But it's absolutely delicious. It's made. It was born right here in the state of Alabama. And you will absolutely love it. It's delicious. It's I know, like me, if you're like me, you probably went to the grocery store and just bought the salsa that everybody buys, right?
Uh-huh.
But you try this, you can tell the difference right away. It's made with real fresh ingredients. Absolutely change your life.
It was delicious. Absolutely.
Restaurant quality salsa, yes, in a jar made locally, and a sponsor of the Drive and Brian's Monday Musings.
Yes. Uncle Keith's Red Sauce.
And, Brian, yeah, before we're out of time, I mean, huge, you know, tons of news here over the last few days, and I don't think it's the end. I mean, there's still plenty. Let folks know how they can keep up with everything that's going on at AuburnSports.com, and then follow everything you're doing.
Absolutely. Tons of transfer news will continue to roll in. I believe Auburn's going to have some more players opting to leave, and they're definitely going to pursue more players to bring in. So we'll continue covering that. Before long, we'll have official visits here in high school football. We've got the basketball transfer portal, of course, too. Baseball, softball, you name it, AuburnSports.com. You can follow me on Twitter, /X, and Threads at BMATAU.
BMAT, really appreciate it. Have a great week.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And that will about wrap things up for us. Dan, get better. Hope you're better tomorrow.
Oh, no, I'm looking. Yeah, I think I'll be in the studio tomorrow, guys.
That sounds good. We should We won't be able to have Andy because the ball game starts at 3 o'clock tomorrow, so we'll see if we can reschedule him. Should have Jake tomorrow. Hopefully you'll join us as well. That's going to do it for the Monday Drive. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.